And beginning with the sixth verse, Acts 1 and 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, that's Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now their very question shows that they anticipated that the kingdom would be now. Now we're speaking of the millennial reign. So they were impressed that perhaps that the millennial kingdom would be revealed at that time. And that's why they asked Jesus a direct question. And this is what he said to them. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. You see, God, amen, has everything in his power. He could have given them the answer because as God, Jesus knew everything. If Jesus did not know the end from the beginning, then he wasn't truly God manifest in the flesh. Because there would be some things that he did not know. But he could not reveal it because the Father, amen, chose to keep that revelation until a future time. And the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. He totally refocused, amen, what they should be about. They were looking for a literal kingdom to be set up right then, that Jesus Christ to rule and reign and begin a 1,000-year reign of peace and prosperity in the earth. But he totally redirected their train of thought. And he said, you're going to receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. You've got a lot of work to do. In other words, it's time to roll up your sleeves because I'm going to send you forth into the world as witnesses. He had said to them previously in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he said, the end is not yet. He said, you're going to see a lot of things happening, but the end is not yet. But he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations for a witness, and then shall the end come. They had totally forgotten that their main purpose and their main priority was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then the end would come. That our responsibility as Christians, although we believe this is coming soon, and rightly so, because he said that we would see certain things come to pass before his coming. And so there are signs that clearly point to the fact that the coming of the Lord is near, that we are looking with great anticipation, but we must never forget that the primary purpose and responsibility of the church is to proclaim Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Because until our responsibility, to our commission is fulfilled, then Jesus Christ will not come. Amen. He will not come one day early, and he will not come one day late. But this gospel is going to be preached unto all the world for his name's sake. And I believe that very possibly that knowing the scope and knowing the magnitude of our outreach, that the technology that is now being utilized to reach the nations of the world, I very much doubt there's a nation of the world that has not been evangelized with this gospel. I'd say that very sincerely. I believe that it would be very difficult to make an argument that there's any nation on this earth that has not been evangelized, that has not been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I don't believe that there's very much, amen, left for the church to do. But what we have left to do, we've got to do it with all our might. Amen. We are racing the rapture. We are literally in a race with time. And so as the apostle said, we need to redeem the time because the days or evil. That we're living in momentous times. We're living in a day when evil is being multiplied everywhere. I want us to go to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus was asked a very direct question by his disciples. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the first verse, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." They were astonished because Jesus told them that the temple was going to be destroyed, that not one stone was going to be left standing upon the other. Now Jesus died around 32 AD and was buried and rose again the third day. That temple was still standing when Jesus went back to heaven. But he said that the angel of the Lord said, "Why stand you gazing? The same Jesus that you've seen go away is going to come back in like manner as you've seen him go away." So they knew that he was coming back. They knew he was coming back in the clouds of glory. But could Jesus come back and establish a kingdom before the prophecy was fulfilled that he himself had spoken? He said that this temple that you see standing here is not going to be left with one stone standing upon another. It's going to be thrown down. That prophecy, amen, was relevant because it told them that it would be fulfilled, that the day would come when there would be no temple. And so Jesus already had warned them, and so he sat down with them on the Mount of Olives in verse 3. And the disciples came unto him privately. They were very troubled at the things that he said to them. And saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" What were they asking? They were asking, when will this happen? When will this temple that we have observed that's so beautiful and ornate, because Herod had expanded Solomon's temple and enlarged the grounds that it was standing upon. And that day it was a very elaborate temple, although it did not match the splendor and the glory of the former temple of Solomon. It was much larger, and it covered a lot more ground on the Temple Mount. And they were astonished that Jesus would say this, that there's not going to be left one stone standing upon another that's not going to be thrown. And they ask him, "When shall these things be?" And then they ask another question, "And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" That they were in their mind that if this is going to happen, if this temple is going to be destroyed, then surely the coming of the Lord will be right following that event. That in their mind, that they were thinking that surely the coming of the Lord and the end of the world is near if the temple is about to be destroyed. This was their thinking because they tied these questions together. That how else could you connect the destruction of the temple to the coming of the Lord, except that they believed that Jesus was going to rule and reign in their time? Of course, we know historically that did not happen. That's why Jesus told them in Acts that it's not given to me to give you the time, because the Father's put that in his own power. It's not yet to be revealed. God chose not to reveal that to them, but to be rather to prepared, amen, for the evangelization of the world. And so Jesus says in verse 4, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And so he's warning them, you're looking for my coming. Those who are looking for the coming of the Lord, amen, need to know what the Word of God says. Because not only did they come in that day, that there were many false Christs who came saying, I am Christ. There were many deceivers that came in the days of the apostles and even in the days after that, that claimed to be the Messiah, and many were deceived, and they had a great following because they were looking for the coming of the Lord, but they were not, amen, were not well versed in the Word of the Lord. It's very important that we know what the Word of God says, because in the last days, amen, there are going to be many deceivers. The Bible says that it's going to wax worse and worse. The spirit of Antichrist was in Christ's day. The spirit of Antichrist was in the days of the apostles. The New Testament talks about the spirit of Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist is even stronger and more powerful today than it has ever been in the history of humanity. That the world is ripe for deception. Many are looking for a Messiah, but they do not know the true Messiah. Amen. The best way to prepare, amen, for the coming of the Lord is to get acquainted with who Jesus really is. If you know who Jesus is, you're not going to be deceived by false disciples, false apostles and false messiahs. Amen. Jesus said, for my sheep hear my voice. My sheep recognize my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And so the more that we acquaint ourselves with Jesus and the Word of God, the Word of prophecy, it's very important that we study the Word of God. Amen. Revelation is a very important book of the Bible because it gives us a preview of the events that are coming upon the world. And the better that we prepare ourselves for the things that are coming on the world, amen, the more insulated that we are against deception, amen, against false teaching, amen, of those that would deceive. He said, I want you to take heed that no man deceive you. For many are going to come in my name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Now I want you to know all these things, amen, parallel the seals of the book of Revelation. And we will go there and we will compare side by side. But every one of the things that Jesus said were going to come to pass in the future came to pass in history. The Jews of that day, they saw false Christ. They saw wars and rumors of wars. For these are not specific, these are general events that are spoken of here, not specific wars or specific prophecies. But they are talking about things that are going to happen in general. He didn't say which war. He didn't say which conflict or which false Messiah. There have been literally hundreds or perhaps thousands of false Christs. There have been hundreds if not thousands of wars that have been fought since the days of Jesus Christ. And we're continuing to see those types of events today. Amen. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now when in history could we not say that? We could say that in every generation since the time of Christ. Because wars and rumors of wars and nations rising against nations have continued up into the present time. And there shall be famines. There are famines today in our world. There have been famines in the past. This does not give us any specific information that would tell us that this is the only generation that's ever seen these things, because even the generation of the early church saw famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All of those things that specifically, amen, relate to the coming of the Lord, amen, happened in their day. So that we can understand why they would have had such an expectancy. That they lived with the belief and an awareness that Jesus Christ could come in our generation. This generation could be the generation that Jesus come. And every generation from that day until this one has believed that. Are you with me? Amen. The first generation believed that. The second one, the third one, the fourth one. And I don't know how many generations removed we are from that first generation Pentecost. I'm talking about the day of Pentecost. But the church of today is still looking for the coming of the Lord with great expectancy. Amen? Amen. And he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So the first century church knew that they were going to go through great suffering and affliction for the name of Jesus. Every generation thereafter knew that they would go through suffering and affliction before the coming of the Lord. Amen. Because they would be hated of all nations for His name's sake. Amen. Is that true of this generation? Absolutely. That we, perhaps the last generation. Amen. The generation upon whom the end of the world has come. That we need to brace ourselves for unparalleled, amen, trial and tribulation. Amen. Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And we are admonished by Jesus Himself. These are His words. He said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, hallelujah. So what kind of a mindset ought we to have as Christians? That we are going to stand. Amen. That we are going to face, amen, trial and tribulation with fortitude, with faith, and with victory. Because we are the church of the living God. Amen. Those that are born of God, amen, we're born to prevail. We're born to overcome. And then he says in verse 14, amen, he says basically the same thing that he told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, the importance of proclaiming the gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Going to be a lot of things, a lot of trouble, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulation. But the gospel is still going to be preached. Amen. This word is going to reach out to all nations. And then shall the end come. Then in verse 15, he speaks of a time of trouble that was prophesied in the book of Daniel, in Daniel's 70 weeks. Now looking back historically, we know that Jesus Christ was crucified at the end of 483 Jewish years from the time of the decree in 444 B.C., until the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was 483 years to the day, because he was crucified on the eve of the Passover. And so the prophecy of Daniel was true for 69 weeks is 483 Jewish years of 360 days. And if you go back and you do the math, compute it, 360 days times 483, that you will come to the very day, the day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of 69 weeks amen, Messiah was cut off in death, fulfilling Daniel's 69 weeks. But there is one week that is yet to be fulfilled, and that was concerning the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. Now, that has never been fulfilled, because when that is fulfilled, then Jesus Christ will establish His kingdom on the earth. And that's what the disciples expected. They fully expected that the kingdom would be established in their generation, that within their lifetime, that the 70th week would be fulfilled, that the kingdom would be established, and Jesus Christ would rule and reign for 1,000 years of peace, and that it would enter into eternal glory. But that did not happen. Here we are 2,000 years later. Amen. The seventh kingdom, which they didn't even know about, was prophesied in the book of Revelation in chapter 17. Amen. A kingdom that would arise for a short time, and it would end, and then the eighth kingdom, which is yet to be revealed, was to come into pass. So the 70th week has not yet begun. We do not yet know who the final beast kingdom is. But looking back historically, that we see how important it was for that seventh kingdom to arise because of the Holy Roman Empire, the Third Reich, or Nazi Germany. Amen. There is a nation of Israel today because of the Holocaust. Out of the Holocaust came, amen, a desire for the nations of the earth to see a nation of Israel established. And so on May 14th, 1948, the nation of Israel became among the nations of the world, and now there is a people, amen, who are called, amen, of the seed of Abraham in the land, waiting the final fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week prophecy. And this is where he is going here in verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now this is a near far prophecy, that he is speaking of a day in the future, the future abomination of desolation. But at the same time, Luke 21 reveals that there was to be an immediate prophecy fulfilled. For it was to be happened that within a generation, Jesus had said later in the prophecy, this generation, speaking to the generation of that day, he said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Speaking of the things leading up to, but not including His coming. Because the coming of the Lord did not take place at that time. But all of the other things that He said, He spoke in generalities. He was not speaking of things in specific. But He talked about the spirit of Antichrist. He talked about wars. He talks about famines. He talks about pestilences and earthquakes. And sorrows, and being delivered up to be afflicted. He talks about persecution. All of those things happened to the Jews of that generation. And if you go to the book of Luke chapter 21, that it in more detail gives us the things that would immediately affect the Jews of that present generation. For they were to see things in their own generation that would preview things that are going to happen in the final generation before the Lord comes. And so if you look at Luke chapter 21, he speaks of those same signs. And after he speaks of the fourth seal, he talks of pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven, speaking of things that should come to pass. But in verse 12, he prefaces his remarks with, but before all these, before all these things take place, he said, they shall lay their hands on you. Now he's speaking specifically to that generation of things that would shortly come to pass. And we know that looking back in history, that in 70 AD, within one generation, that everything that Jesus said would happen, happened to the nation of Israel, with the exception of his coming and the end of the age. That all of the events that he said would happen, happened to Israel. And he's telling them of things that would shortly take place. He said, before these things, they're going to lay hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friend, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your soul. Now while this was for the first generation Christians, amen, that he was addressing, amen, it is applicable to you and I, because the very same type of persecution that the first century church had to endure, that you and I as the last generation will also endure, amen, because Jesus said that would happen, amen, before his coming, that we would be hated. And he says in verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, unto them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And so this distress was upon the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, amen, for their rejection of the Messiah. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. That's when the Jews were scattered to the four winds, to the four corners of the earth, amen, as Ezekiel had prophesied. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, God prophesied that 2,520 years would elapse from the time that they would go into captivity until he would bring them out again. And this happened, this dispersal into all the world, amen, happened just as Ezekiel had said. And just as they prophesied their return in 1948, amen, Israel returned back to the land. They could not understand that. They couldn't perceive all of that, amen, because it had not yet been revealed. But we can know that because we're looking back historically. And we see that from that time forward, the times of the Gentiles began. And then at verse 24, he stopped speaking of the immediate destruction. He was focusing upon the immediate destruction because that was their first question. Their first question was, when will these things be? They weren't talking about his coming or the end of the age. They were talking about the destruction of the temple. And so Jesus, in Luke 21, that's what he's addressing here, is when this is going to happen. And he said it's going to happen in one generation. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And it happened within one generation. From 32 A.D. to 70 A.D. was 38 years. And a generation is normally believed to be 40 years. So exactly the things that Jesus said would happen, happened. Now, if his words were that accurate, and we know that not one word's going to fall to the ground, if what he said concerning the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, he said not one stone would be left on another. Now that is a specific prophecy. He didn't just say this building's going to be destroyed. He said not one stone is going to be left standing on another. That's pretty detailed. When you go to the Temple Mount today, and there's not any evidence, not a trace of any temple that was erected on that site. There's a wall, but that wall was not a part of the temple structure. It was an outer wall of the court of the Gentiles. There's not one stone left standing on another on the Temple Mount today. So can we trust the words of Jesus as reliable? Amen. Absolutely. Amen. It was hard for them to believe that when they looked at that vast, beautiful temple, that it would be destroyed to such a degree that not even one stone be left on another. Nothing. There would be nothing but bare ground where that once beautiful temple, that was hard for them to conjure such a vision in their head. But he said it would happen within their day. Now that made it even more specific. Not only did Jesus say that it was going to happen, but it's going to be happening before this generation passes. Now that, Jesus speaking as God, amen, he spake things that he already knew in advance. Amen, this was something, amen, that he prophesied. And so we looking at it, looking back, and we see the accuracy of his prophecy, that we can then take everything that he said that was going to happen after that with the same degree of accuracy. Now in verse 25, he says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Now he's looking at things in the future. Amen. The sign of the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man. Because those are the three questions they ask. When shall these things be? The things concerning the temple. And the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Now let's go back to Matthew 24 again. Now we went to Luke 21, and you can also look at Mark, the 13th chapter. These are parallel passages in the Synoptic Gospels. Jesus is teaching about his coming. And in verses 15 through verse 28, talk about a time of great tribulation. And it says in verse 21 in Matthew 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now we know that in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the false prophet will do miracles, signs and wonders, call down fire out of heaven. Now that never happened in history. That never happened in the past. But in that day, that they shall show great signs and wonders, that if it were possible, even the very elect should be deceived. Amen. And he says, Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Don't believe any of these reports. When Antichrist comes, he's going to go out and deceive those that do not know the Word of God. Those that are looking for a deliverer, looking for a Savior, he's going to deceive many of them through the signs and miracles that he does. You better not be a follower of signs. Jesus said, A sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. The sign seekers are going to be deceived. But you better love the truth. Amen. Love it with all your heart. Because the Bible says, because they held the truth in unrighteousness, God will send them a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie and be damned. Amen. You better have a love for the things of God. You better love Bible teaching. Amen. You better love apostolic doctrine. Amen. You better love the message of the new birth. You better love holiness preaching and separation from the world, because that is the kind of scripture that's going to keep us separated from those that are of the world. Amen. Praise God that we've got to stay founded, rooted and grounded in the truth. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is not going to come, amen, with signs and wonders and miracles. That's not how he's coming back, amen, at the second coming. When he came the first time, he performed miracles and signs and wonders, and they rejected him. He said, I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But he said, if another comes in his own name, him you will receive. That the Antichrist is not going to come in Christ's name. He's going to come in his own name. And Jesus said, him ye will receive. That they will embrace him. But that's not the way Jesus is coming. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. And he's coming, the Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. He's coming in a day and hour when you think not the Son of Man coming. Amen. And yet they asked the Lord a question, a specific question. What is the sign? Not signs, but sign. If you notice that they did not pluralize that word. They did not ask, what are the signs of your coming? But what shall be the sign, singular, of your coming and of the end of it? There are many signs, amen, that lead us to know that the time is near. That all of these signs accumulated together tell us that everything is set, everything is in order, amen, for him to come. That all of the requirements have been met. But there is a one singular sign, amen, that testifies of the Lord's coming. And that is what they ask. What shall be the sign of your coming? Now look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now one of the words for the coming of the Lord is parousia. And it means literally the shining. That Jesus Christ is going to come in power and great glory. That his glory is going to light up the sky. Amen. Like the lightning lights up the sky from the east to the west. Amen. It will be unmistakable when Jesus Christ, amen, comes to earth. And he says in verse 24, wheresoever the carcass is, There will the eagles be gathered together. Now this is an Hebraism that speaks of all of these things put together. When you see all of these things together, that you will know that the time is at hand. Now they saw wars and rumors of wars. They saw Antichrist. They saw famines. They saw pestilence. They saw earthquakes. They saw persecution. They saw all of those things. But they did not see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Amen. Where the Antichrist set up an image of himself and demanded worship. And that Daniel explains that it was after that he had made a covenant with the holy people for a 1 week or 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he breaks that covenant. They didn't see that. We can't look back in history and find anywhere that anyone ever made such a promise to the nation of Israel and then broke it and demanded worship of himself in the temple. Amen. After the prophecy of Jesus. We don't see any of those things fulfilled. But in the latter day, when all you see all of these things, he said, you'll know that the time is near. And then verse 29, for immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now he's not talking about the tribulation of the first century. Not talking about a 70 AD tribulation. But they did go through a time of tribulation and suffering. But he's talking about the tribulation of the Antichrist. The Antichrist who will come as the eighth kingdom to rule over the earth immediately after the tribulation of those days. Shall the sun be darkened? That never happened in history. That never happened, amen, anywhere in the New Testament period. Up until now, it has never been fulfilled that the sun was darkened or the moon was turned to blood. And the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. This is the same prophecy that is given in the book of Isaiah and also the book of Joel. The Bible talks in the Old Testament prophecy of a day of the Lord judgment that is going to come upon the world when the sun is going to withhold its shining, the moon is going to be darkened and turned to blood, and the stars of the heavens are going to fall. And then in verse 30, Jesus says this, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now they had asked him specifically, what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And he said, my coming is going to be like when the lightning flashes from the east to the west. When it lightens the sky, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now here he speaks that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the heavenly lights are going to be darkened. There's going to be darkness over the face of the earth. But that darkness is going to be interrupted by the brightness of His coming. That when He shines in His glory and His splendor, amen, the heavens are going to be darkened. And they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's called the parousia. Amen, the Bible talks about, amen, the brightness of His coming. Amen, that the Antichrist, the false prophet are going to be destroyed by the brightness of His coming. That He's coming in glory and in power. That when Jesus transfigured Himself on the Mount of Transfiguration, He took three men with Him, Peter, James, and John. And He said there would be some, He said 6 days before they went up to the Mount, He said, there be some of you standing here that shall not taste death until you see the Son of Man coming in power and great glory. Did He not say that? 6 days later, Peter, James, and John went with the Lord up on the mountain, and He was transfigured before Him, and His raiment became, amen, bright. It became bright like the sunlight, and they could not even bear to look upon Him, and they appeared with the Lord on the mountain, Moses and Elijah. The two prophets, The Bible says that the two witnesses would come and prophesy before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. They began their prophecy, amen, at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, amen, in the midst of the week, and it begins his 1,260-day reign. That's when the two prophets began their ministry for 42 months. And if you look, 42 months is the same thing as 1,260 days or 3.5 years. And when they finish their prophecy, that they'll be crucified, they'll be killed and left in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Amen. But now these are things that Jesus said. Immediately after the tribulation, the heavens are going to be darkened. And you're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now this is not Armageddon. Armageddon is at the end of the 42 months, at the end of the 70th week, when Christ returns with the church, amen, on a white horse to defeat the armies that are gathered against Jerusalem. Here we see, amen, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the Lord appears, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And it's not a war, but rather it's anticipating the wrath of God. God is about to pour out His wrath upon a world of rebellion and ungodliness. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with what? With power and great glory. That the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed unto all the nations. And it's going to be like the lightning shining from the east to the west. Oh, hallelujah. That's going to be a great and glorious day. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Amen. What did Paul say? Amen. That the resurrection of the dead would happen at the last trump. Speaking of the day of the Lord trumpet. Amen. This day of the Lord trumpet introduces the day of the Lord judgment. Amen. And the Bible says, and there will be a sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now let's go to Mark. We'll read the same passage in Mark chapter 13. Look at Mark 13. Verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. Amen. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors, that the coming of the Lord is at hand. That I truly believe today, amen, that we are the last generation that shall see, amen, that shall see the signs of His coming. That I believe that very soon that we shall see the Lord Jesus Christ. When we compare the teaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew and Luke and Mark with the revelation of Jesus Christ and the opening of the seals, we see that the sixth seal reveals the very sign of the darkening of the heavens and the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then we see in the very next chapter, chapter 7, a glorious event. We see a great multitude in chapter 7 that cannot be numbered, out of every kindred, nation, and tongue, that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. A multitude that cannot be numbered. Oh, hallelujah. And He asks you, who are these? And he said, these are they that came out of great tribulation. Oh, hallelujah. And have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I believe today that the church of the living God is going to go up in victory. Amen. Before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. Amen. That Jesus Christ, amen, is going to take His church out of this world. And that will follow will be a time of the trumpet. It'll be a time of judgment. Be a time of wrath. Be a time of unparalleled suffering and destruction upon unrepentant humanity. But we're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed unto salvation. Amen. We can endure the test. We can pass through the fires of tribulation. We can endure, amen, being spat upon and mocked. We can endure, amen, the hate of the world. Amen. The wrath of Satan and the wrath of man. Amen. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is on our side. Amen. He promised to never leave us and never forsake us. What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the world? Jesus said, when you see the heavens darkened, the sun darkened, the moon turned to blood, the stars fall from heaven, then you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. I believe He's coming back in clouds of glory. Amen. I want to be looking for His appearing. I want to expect Him. Amen. I want to see Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Would you stand tonight? Hallelujah.
It's closer now than it's ever been. We're nearer heaven's shore than when we first began.
Spend some time in prayer with the Lord tonight. I mean, we invite you to come and meditate, talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that this Bible lesson has been of value to you, will encourage you, amen, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to give you the victory in Jesus' name.